Diary of the Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rolls by Jeff Kenny. I guess Mom was pretty proud of herself for making me write in that journal last year, because now she went and bought me another one. But remember how I said that if some jerk caught me carrying a book with diary on the cover, they were getting the wrong idea. Well, that's exactly what happened today, Sissy. Now that Roderick knows I have another journal, I better remember to keep this one locked up. Roger actually got a hold of my last journal a few years back, and it was a disaster, but don't even get me started on that story. Even without my Roger problems, my summer was pretty lousy. Our family didn't go anywhere or do anything fun, and that's Dad's fault. Dad made me join the swim team again, and he wanted to make sure I didn't miss any meets this year. Kill them, Brandon. No mercy, Todd. Stop shivering, Greg. Dad's got this idea that I'm destined to be a great swimmer or something, so that's why he makes me join the team every summer. At my first swim meet a couple of years ago, Dad told me that when the umpire shoot off the starter pistol, I was supposed to dive in and start swimming. But what he didn't tell me was a starter gun only fired blanks. So I was a whole lot more worried about where the bullet was going to land than I was about getting myself to the other end of the pool. Even after Dad explained the whole starter pistol concept to me, I was still the worst swimmer on the team, but I did end up winning most improved at my awards banquet at the end of the summer. That's only because there was a 10-minute difference between my first race and my last one. So I guess Dad's still waiting for me to live up to my potential. In a lot of ways, being on the swim team was worse than being in middle school. First of all, we had to be at the pool at 7:30 every morning, and the water was always freezing cold. And second of all, we were all crammed in two lanes, so I always had someone on my tail trying to get around me. The reason we had to use two lanes was because swim practice was at the same time as the water jazz class. I actually tried to convince Dad to let me do water jazz instead of swim team, but he wouldn't go for it. Come on, ladies, get those arms up. This was the first summer the coach let us boys wear swim trunks instead of those skimpy racing trunks, but Mom says Roderick's hand-me-down bathing suit was perfectly fine. Your friends will be jealous because you'll be so fast. Ha ha. After swim practice, Roderick would pick me up in his band's van. Mom had this crazy idea that if me and Roderick spent quality time on the ride home every day, we wouldn't fight as much. But all it did was make things a lot worse. Roderick was always half an hour late picking me up, and he wouldn't let me sit in the front. He said the chlorine would ruin his seat, even though the van is something like 50 years old. Roderick's van doesn't actually have any seats in the back, so I have to squeeze in with all the band equipment. And every time the van came to a stop, I had to pray I didn't get my head taken off by one of Roderick's drums. Gah! I ended up walking home every day instead of getting a ride from Roderick. I figured it was better to just walk 2 miles than to get brain damage riding in the back of that van. Halfway through the summer, I decided I was pretty much done with the swim team, so I came up with a trick to get out of practice. I'd swim a few laps, and then I'd ask the coach if I could use the bathroom. Then I'd just hide out in the locker room until practice was over. The only problem with my plan was that it was something like 40 degrees in the boys' bathroom, so it was even cooler there than it was in the pool. I had to wrap myself in toilet paper so I didn't get hypothermia. That's how I spent a pretty big chunk of my summer vacation, and that's why I'm actually looking forward to going back to school tomorrow. When I got to school today, everyone was acting all strange on me. At first, I didn't know what was up. Scream. Then I remembered I still had the cheese touch from last year. I got the cheese touch in last week of school. Over the summer, I completely forgot about it. The problem with the cheese touch is that you've got it until you could pass it to someone else. But nobody would even get 30 feet of me. So I knew I was going to have to be stuck with the cheese touch for a whole school year. Luckily, there was a new kid, Jeremy Pindle, in homeroom. So that took care of that problem. Welcome to our school, Jeremy. Slap. My first class was pre-algebra, and the teacher put me right next to Alex Arudo, the smartest kid in the whole class. Alex is super easy to copy off because he always finishes his tests early and puts his paper down on the floor next to him. So if I ever get in a pinch, it's nice to know I can count on Alex to bail me out. Kids whose last names start with a few letters on the alphabet get called on most by the teacher. And that's why they end up being the smartest. Some people think that's not true, but if you want to come down to my school, then I can prove it. I could only think of one kid who broke the last name rule, and that's Peter Udeter. Peter was the smartest kid in the class all the way up until the fifth grade. That's when a bunch of us started giving him a hard time about his initials, how his initials sounded when you say them out loud. The teacher, the answer to that question is P-U, P-U, yeah, P-U, P-U. These days, Peter doesn't raise a hand at all, and he's pretty much a C student. I guess I feel a little bad about the whole P-U thing and what happened to Peter. But it's hard not to take the credit whenever it comes up. I started that. Anyway, today I got a pretty decent seat in all my classes, except 7th period of history. My teacher is Mr. Huff, and something tells me he had Roderick as a student a few years back. Mr. Huffley, you'll be sitting in this chair next to my desk. Mom has been making me and Roderick help out around the house more. And now the two of us are responsible for doing the dishes every night. The rule is that we are not allowed to watch any TV or play video games until all the dishes are done. But let me just say, Roderick is the worst dish partner in the world. As soon as dinner is over, he goes upstairs to the bathroom and camps out there for an hour. And by the time he comes back downstairs, I'm already done. I'm ready to start. But if I ever complain to Mom and Dad, Roger always pulls the same lame excuse. My body is on schedule. I think Mom and Dad are too worried about my little brother Manny to get involved in a fight between me and Roger right now. Anyway, yesterday Manny drew a picture at daycare and Mom, Dad got really upset when they found it in his backpack. Mom and Dad thought this picture was supposed to be of them, so now they're actually lovely in front of Manny. I love you so much, and I love you so much. I knew who it really was supposed to be in the picture, me and Roderick. We got into this big blowout over the remote control the other night. Manny was there as a witness, the whole thing, but Mom and Dad don't need to find out about that. Another reason my summer was kind of lame was because my best friend Rolly was on vacation pretty much the whole time. I think he went to South America or something, but to be honest with you, I'm not really sure. I don't know if this makes me a bad person or whatever, but it's hard to get interested in other people's vacation. And then we're going to go on a boat and cruise down this river. Yeah. Have you ever noticed this freckle on me? Besides, it seems like Rolly's family is always traveling on some crazy places in the world, and I could never keep the trip straight. The other reason I don't care about Rolly's trips is because whenever Rolly comes back from one of his vacations, he always crams down in my throat. Last year, Rolly and his family went to Australia for 10 days, but from the way he acted when he was back, you'd think he'd lived there his whole life. Good day, mate. Another thing that's really annoying is that whenever Rolly goes to some new country, he gets into whatever fad is going on over there. Like when Rolly got back from Europe 2 years ago, he hooked up to this pop singer named Joshi, who I guess is a huge star or something. So Rolly came back with his bags packed full of Joshi CDs, posters, and stuff. Took one look at a picture on the CD and told Rolly that Joshi was supposed to be for 6-year-old girls, but he didn't believe me. Rolly said I was just jealous because he was the one who discovered Joshi. And what made it really irritating was that now this guy was a Rolly's new hero, so if I ever try to say anything critical at all, Rolly didn't want to hear it. Joshi says you should respect your parents and follow your dreams. Speaking of foreign countries, today in French class, Madame Lefree told us we're going to be choosing pen pals this year. When Roderick was in middle school, we had a 17-year-old. He had a 17-year-old girl in Holland and his pen pal. I know because I've seen these letters in his junk drawer. I like the Sun Chimmy Days ice cream. Do you too? When Maddie Lafiri handed out forms, I made sure I checked off the boxes that would get me a pen pal just like Roderick's. But after Maddie Lafiri read over my form, she made sure to start over and pick again. She said I had to choose a boy who is my age and he has to be French. So I don't actually have a high hopes for a pen pal experience. Mom decided to start making Roderick pick me up after school, just like he picked me up after swim practice. I guess that means she didn't learn from that experience, but I did. So when Roderick picked me up today, I asked him to please take it easy on the brakes. Roderick said okay, but then he went out on his way to find every speed bump in town. When I got out of the van, I called Roderick a big jerk, and then he got physical. Mom saw the whole thing unfold from the living room window. Mom made us come inside, and she sat us down at the kitchen table. Then she said, "Me and Roderick, we're going to have to settle our differences in a silver matter." Mom told me and Roderick we each had to write down what we did wrong, and then we had to draw a picture to go along with it. And I knew exactly where Mom was going with that idea. Mom used to be a preschool teacher, and whenever kids would do something wrong, she'd make him draw a picture of it. So I guess the idea was supposed to make a kid feel ashamed of what he did so he wouldn't do it again. I will not break the crayons because that makes the other children very sad. Well, Mom's idea might have worked great on a bunch of four-year-olds, but she's going to have to think of something better if she wants me and Roger to get along. I will not call Roger names, Bunny Rabbit. Wah! I will not push Gregory. Ah! The truth is, Roger could pretty much treat me any way he wants because he knows there's nothing I could do about it. See, Roderick is the only one who knows about this really embarrassing thing that happened to me over the summer. And he's been holding it over my head ever since, so if I ever tell on him for anything, he'd spill my secret to the whole world. I just wish I had some dirt on him even things out. But I don't know one embarrassing thing about Roderick. But I don't think it's gonna do me any good. When Roderick was a sophomore, he was sick that day. They did the school photo, so Mom told Dad to mail in Roderick's freshman picture for the school to use in the yearbook. Don't ask me how Dad screwed it up, but he sent Roderick's second grade picture. And believe it or not, it actually got printed. Unfortunately, Roderick was smart enough to rip that page out of his yearbook. So if I'm ever going to find something to use against him, I guess I have to keep digging. Ever since Mom assigned the dishes to me and Roderick, Dad's been going down to the furnace room after dinner to work on his miniature silver war battlefield for his. Dad spends at least 3 hours a night there working on that thing. I think Dad would be happy to spend the whole weekend working on this battlefield, but Mom has other plans for him. Mom likes to rent these romantic comedies, and she makes Dad watch them with her. But I know Dad is just waiting for the first chance to break away and go back down to the basement. Kiss, smooch. Whenever Dad can be down in the furnace room, he makes sure us kids keep away. Dad won't let me or Roger go near his battlefield because he thinks we're going to mess something up. And earlier today, I overheard Dad say anything to Manny to make sure he doesn't go poking around back there either. I think I just heard some grunting noises coming from the furnace room. Rolly came over to my house today. Dad doesn't like it when Rolly comes over because Dad always says Rolly isn't accident prone. I think it's because the one time Rolly was eating dinner here, he dropped the plate and broke it. So now Dad has this idea that Rolly's going to ruin his whole Civil War battlefield. And in one klutzy move, duh, bounce. Whenever Rolly comes over to my house these days, he gets the same greeting. The basement is off limits. Yes, sir. Rolly's dad doesn't like me either. That's why I don't go over his house much anymore. The last time I spent the night at Rolly's, we watched this movie where kids taught themselves a secret language that no grown-ups could understand. Beagle, doodle, brup, boop, bork, translator. At exactly 2:30 p.m., let's all drop our books on the floor. Me and Rolly thought that was pretty cool, and we tried to figure out how to talk in the same language as the kids were using in the movie. But we couldn't really get the hang of it, so we made up our own secret language. Then we tried it out in dinner. Yeah, pa, dad, pa, smells like pa, a woman, pa. Hehehe. But Rolly's dad must have cracked our code because I ended up getting sent home before dessert. And I haven't been invited to spend the night at Rolly's ever since. When Rolly came over to my house today, he brought a bunch of pictures from his trip with him. He said the best part of his vacation was when they went on a river safari, and he showed me all these blurry pictures of birds and stuff. Now I've been to the Wild Kingdom amusement park of a bunch of times, and they had this river rapids ride where there are these awesome Roma animals like gorillas and dinosaurs. If you ask me, Rolly's parents should have just saved the money and taken him there instead. Did you see any sharks fighting with giant tarantulas on your safari? No, and sharks don't fight tarantulas. Well, at Wild Kingdom they do. But of course, Rolly didn't want to hear about my experience, so he gathered up his pictures and went home. Tonight after dinner, Mom and Dad watched one of the movies she rented, but Dad really wanted to work on a Civil War battle. When Mom got up from the bathroom, Dad stuffed a bunch of pillows under the blanket of his side of the bed to make it look like he was asleep. But Mom didn't find out about Dad's decoy until after the movie was over. She made Dad come to bed, even though it was only 8:30. And now Manny sleeps in Mom's and Dad's bed because he's afraid of the monster that lives in the furnace room. I thought I was done hearing about Rolly's trip, but I was wrong. Yesterday, our social studies teacher asked Rolly to tell the class all about his vacation, and today he came to school wearing his ridiculous costume. But what was even worse was when some girls came up to Rolly at lunch and started kissing his butt. Will you tell us more about your trip? See, hehe. But when I realized maybe that wasn't such a bad idea after all, so I started parroting Rolly around this cafeteria because he is my best friend. Rolly here just got back from South Dakota, South America, whatever. Dad has been taking me to the mall every Saturday for the past few weeks. At first, I thought it was because he wanted to spend more time with me, but then I realized he's just making sure he's out of the house for Rolly's band practices, which I can totally understand. Roger Kenny's heavy metal band practice in the basement was on weekends. The lead singer of the band is a guy named Bill Walter, and me and Dad bumped into Bill on the way out the door. Morning, Mr. Helfley. Bill doesn't have a job, and he still lives in his parents' house, even though he's 35 years old. I'm pretty sure Dad's worst fear is that Roger is going to see Bill as some kind of role model, and that Roger will want to follow in Bill's footsteps. So whenever Dad sees Bill, it puts him in a bad mood for the rest of the day. The reason Roger invited Bill to his band, it was because Bill got voted most likely to be a rock star when he was in high school. Most likely to be a rock star. That hasn't really actually worked out for Bill yet. And I think I heard Annie Wetherin is in prison. Anyway, me and Dad went to the mall for a few hours today, but when we got back, Roger's band practice wasn't over yet. You could hear the guitars and drums a block away, and there were a bunch of random teenagers hanging out in our driveway. I guess they must have heard the music coming from the basement and got drawn to it, sort of like how moths get drawn to light. And when Dad saw all teenagers in the driveway, he totally freaked out. Dad ran inside to call the cops. Mom stopped him before he could dial 911. Mom said the teenagers weren't doing any harm and that they were just appreciating Roderick's music. But I don't even know how she could say that with a straight face. And if you even heard Roderick's band, you'd know what I mean. Dad couldn't relax with all those teenagers out in the driveway. So Dad went upstairs and got his boombox when he put a classical music CD and let it play. And you would not believe how quickly the driveway cleared out after that. Dad was pretty proud of himself for thinking of that one. But Mom accused him of getting rid of Roger's fans on purpose. What? I can't enjoy my music too? Today on the car ride to church, I was making faces at Manny, trying to get him to laugh. I made this one face that Manny laughed so hard that the apple juice came out of his nose. Bah, ha, ha, ha. But the mom said, you could have killed him. Well, once Mom put that thought in Manny's head, it was all over. See, this is the reason I kept my distance from Manny. Every time I tried to have a little fun with him, I ended up regretting it. I remember when I was younger, Mom and Dad told me I was getting a little brother, and I was really excited. After all those years getting pushed around by Roger, I was definitely ready to move up a notch at the totem pole. Yeah. But Mom and Dad have always been super protective for Manny, and they won't let me lay a finger on him, and... Let me lay a finger on him. And even if he totally deserves it, like for the other day, I plugged in my video game system and it wouldn't start. I opened it up and found out that Manny stuffed the chocolate chip cookie in the disk drive. And of course, Manny used the same excuse he always uses when he breaks my stuff. I really wanted to let Manny have it, but I couldn't do anything with Mom standing right there. Mom says she would have a talk with Manny and then went downstairs. Half an hour later, they came back up to the room. Manny was holding up something in his hands. I'm sorry, booby. It was a ball of tin foil with a bunch of toothpicks sticking out of it. Don't ask me how that was supposed to make up a broken game system. I went to throw the stupid thing away, but Mom wouldn't even let me do that. Your brother made that for you. The first chance I get, that thing's going in the trash, because mark my words, but if I didn't get rid of it, I'm going to end up sitting on it. Even though Manny drives me totally nuts, there is one reason I like having him around. Ever since Manny started talking, Roger has stopped making me sell chocolate bars to a school fundraiser. Now, believe me, I am grateful for that. Before, hello, sure, would you like to help support? Not interested. Now, would you like some chocolate sweets? Now, how precious. Madame LaFree made us write our first pen pal letters. Letters today. I got assigned to this kid named Maru Mortafir, and I guess he lives in some place in France. And I know I'm supposed to write in French and Madame is supposed to write in English, but to be honest with you, writing in a full language is pretty hard, so I really don't see the need for both of us to stress out over the whole pen pal thing. Dear Madame, first of all, I think we should both just write in English to keep things simple. By the way, remember how I said I was going to end up sitting in Manny's pinky tin foil thing? Well, I was half right. Rolly came over today to play video games, and he ended up sitting on it. I'm actually kind of relieved, to be honest with you. I lost track of that thing for a couple of days ago, and I'm glad of it turned out. And in all commotion, I threw Manny's gift in the garbage, but something tells me Mom wouldn't have stopped me this time. Roderick has an English present paper due tomorrow, and Mom's actually making him do it himself for once. Roderick doesn't know how to type, and so he's usually writes papers on the notebook paper and then hands them off to Dad. But when Dad reads over Roderick's work, he finds all sorts of factual errors. Well, for starters, Abraham Lincoln didn't write to kill a mockingbird. Roger doesn't really care about the mistakes, so he tells Dad just to go ahead and type the paper like this. But Dad can't stand typing a paper with errors in it, so he just rewrites Roger's papers from scratch. And then a couple of days later, Roger brings his graded paper home and acts like he did it himself. This has been going on for a few years, and I guess Mom decided she's going to put an end to it. So tonight, she told Dad that Roderick was going to have to do it on his own work this time around, and that Dad wasn't allowed to help out. Roderick went on his computer room after dinner, and you could hear him typing one letter at a minute. I could tell that sound of Roderick typing was driving Dad totally bananas. On top of that, Roderick would come out of the computer room every 10 minutes and ask Dad that dumb question, where's the space bar at? After a couple hours, Dad finally cracked. Dad waited for Mom to go to bed, and then he typed Roderick's whole paper for him. So I guess this means Roderick's system is safe, at least for now. I have a book report due tomorrow, but I'm really not sweating in it. I found the secret to doing book reports a long time ago. I've been milking the same book for the past 5 days. Circle Sammy does it again. There are about 20 short stories in Sherlock Sammy does it again. But I guess treat each story like a whole book and the teacher never notices. These Sherlock Sammy stories are all the same. Some grown-up commits in a crime and then Sherlock Sammy figures it out and makes the person look stupid. Your first mistake, Mr. Besley, was when you forgot to cover Celsius to Fahrenheit. Geek. I'm kind of an expert at writing book reports, but now all you have to do is write exactly what the teacher wants to hear, and you're all set. Man, Sherlock Sammy is so smart, and I'll bet that's what caused he reads so much books. I'll let you write. There were a bunch of hard words in the book, but I looked them up in the dictionary, so now I know what they mean. I guess you're a little bit of a slut yourself. A+. There was a new kid. There was a kid named Sugar Gupte who was one of my friends last year, but he moved away in June. His family was a big going away party, and the whole neighborhood came. But I guess Shirag's family must have changed their mind because today Shirag was back in school. Everyone happy to see Shirag again, but a couple of us decided to have a little fun with him before officially welcoming him back. So we basically pretended he was still gone. Boy, I sure miss Shirag. Yeah, I wonder how he's doing. Hey guys, I'm right here. I had to admit, it was pretty funny. Did you just hear something? Nope. Must have been the wind. At lunch, Shirag sat next to me, and I had an extra chocolate chip cookie in my lunch bag. Big deal about it. I wish Shirag was here. Oh, how he loved chocolate chip cookies. But I'm sitting right next to you. I'm not that hungry. Okay, maybe that one was a little cruel. Gobble, gobble, smack, smack. I guess we'll probably let Shirag off the hook tomorrow. But then again, the invisible Shirag thing could turn into the next P.U. Okay, so that invisible Shirag joke is still going, and the whole class is on it now, too. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself or anything, but I think I might have class clown in the back for dreaming this one up. In science, our teacher asked me to count the number of kids in the classroom so she'd know how many pairs of safety goggles to get out of the closet. So I made a big show counting everyone in the room except Shirag. 33, 34. There are 34 people in the class. That was really, really set Shirag off. He got up and started yelling, and it was really hard to stare straight ahead and act like he wasn't there. I am a human being too! I wanted to tell him that we never said he wasn't a human being. It's just that he's an invisible human being. But I managed to keep my mouth shut. Before you go and say I'm a bad friend for teasing Shirag, let me just say, in this my own defense, I'm smaller than about 95 of the kids at my school. So when it comes to finding someone I can actually pick on, my options are pretty limited. And besides, I'm not 100% to blame for dreaming this one. Believe it or not, I got the idea from Mom. This one time when I was a kid, I was playing under the kitchen table and Mom came looking for me. Has anyone seen Gregory? I don't know what made me do it, but I decided to play under Uncle Mom and stay hidden. Mom went all around the house calling my name, and I think she must have finally seen me under the kitchen table, but she still pretended she didn't know where I was. Poor Gregory, all alone in the snow. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo. I thought it was pretty funny, and I probably would have stayed under there for a little while longer. But Mom actually got me to crack when she said she was going to give my gumball machine to Roderick. So if you want to point fingers on the invisible Shiri joke, now you know who's really to blame. Well, yesterday Shirag pretty much gave up on the trying to get anyone in our class to talk to him. But today he found their weakness. Really, do you think I exist? Nope, I can't even hear you or see you. I forgot all about Rolly. When the joke first started, I made sure to keep him away from Shirag because I had a feeling Rolly would blow the joke. But I guess I kind of got too kooky. Too kooky and let me guard down. Shirag started working on Rolly at lunch, and he came really close to getting him to crack. If you say I exist, this corn dog is yours. So I could tell Rolly was about to say something, so I had to act quick. I told everyone there was a floating corn dog hovering around our lunch and table, and then I plucked it out of the air and ate it in two bites. So thanks to my quick thinking, that we were able to keep the joke going, gobble smack. Not as good as the regular kind, though. But that really made Shirag mad. He started punching my arm, but of course I had to pretend like I didn't notice. After after And let me tell you, that wasn't easy to do. Sharag might be small, but that kid can really punch. Is there a flea breathing on me? Because it feels like a tiny little flea, something is breathing on me. Punch, punch. Well, I guess Sharag must have complained to the teacher about my little joke, because today I got called down to the front office. When I got to Vice Principal Roy's room, he was pretty mad. He knew all about how I started the joke, and he gave me a speech about respect and dignity and all that. But luckily, Mr. Roy got one crucial fact wrong. That was the identity of the person we were playing the joke on, so that made the apology part a lot easier. I am deeply sorry, and now I do indeed admit that you exist, Sheriff. Mr. Roy seemed pretty satisfied with my apology, and he let me without even tacking on my any detention. I've always heard that when Mr. Roy is done chewing a kid out, he sends them off with the pat the back and a lollipop. And now I could tell your firsthand that it's true. Rolly's birthday party is tomorrow, so Mom took me to the mall to get him a gift. I picked out this cool video game just came out, and I handed it to Mom so she could pay for it. But Mom said I had to buy it on my own money. I told Mom that first of all, I have zero money, and second of all, if I did have any money, I would have been wasting it on Rolly. Mom didn't seem to be happy with that, with what I said. But it's not my fault, I'm broke. I actually had the job in the summer, but the people I worked for stiffed me, so I didn't earn a single penny. I have these neighbors named Firmers who live a few doors up, so they go away on vacation every summer. They usually leave their dog, Princess, in the kennel, but this year they told me they'd pay me $5 to feed the princess and take her out. I figured I'd earn money to buy a whole pile of video games with that kind of money. But I guess Princess is a gun shy about going to the bathroom in front of a stranger. So I ended up spending a lot of time standing around in the hot sun, waiting for this dumb dog to hurry up and go, come on, and wait, and nothing would happen. And then I just take Princess back inside. But every time I'd leave, Princess would make a big mess on the foyer, and I'd have to clean it up the next day. Toward the end of the summer, I got smart and realized it would be a whole lot easier just to clean up all of Princess's mess once instead of doing it every single day. So I fed her, I let her do her business on the foyer floor about 2 weeks. Then the day came to the foyers were due back. I headed to the hill with my cleaning supplies, but guess what? The foyers cut their trip short and got home a day early. I guess they didn't know it was polite to call ahead and let people know where your plans have changed. Tonight, Mom called a house meeting with me and Roderick. She said that two of us are always complaining that we don't have any money. So she came up with a way for us to earn some cash. She pulled out play money she must have dug up from a board game, and then she called the money Mom Bucks. Mom said she would earn Mom Bucks by doing chores and doing deeds and stuff like that, and we could trade them in for real money. Mom handed us $1,000 each to get started, and I thought I had stuck in it rich. But then she explained that each Mom Buck was actually worth a penny for real money. Mom told us we should save up our Mom Bucks, and if we were patient, we could buy something with what we really wanted. But Roger cashed in his whole stash before Mom wasn't even done talking. Then he went down to convenience store and bought and blew his money on some heavy metal magazines. If Roger wants to waste his money like that, he could go right ahead. But I'm going to be smart with my mom bucks. Today was Rolly's birthday party, and he headed into the mall. And sure, I would have thought it was a lot of fun. If it was about 7-year-olds. That was the average age of kids at Rolly's party. Rolly invited his whole karate team, and most of the kids are still in elementary school. I just wish I had known what the party was going to be like. I would have skipped it. We started out playing these dopey party games like Pin the Tail of the Donkey and stuff like that. The last game was played with hide and seek. The plan was to just hide in the pulpit and stay there until the party was over. But some other kid was already in there. It turned out the kid wasn't from Rolly's party. He was from last birthday party that happened an hour earlier. I guess he must have hid there during the hide and seek, and nobody ever found him. So Rolly's party had to be put on the hold while the staff tried to track down the kid's parents. After the situation got cleared up, we had the cake and watched Rolly's open his gifts. He mostly got a bunch of kids' toys, but he seemed pretty happy for it. Yay! Then Rolly's parents gave him their present, and guess what? It was a diary. It was kind of ticked me off because I knew Roger got his parents for a diary so he could just be just like me. After Rolly opened his present, he said, "We can call ourselves the Diary Twins and let him know exactly." And I let him know exactly what I thought of that idea by slugging him in the arm. And I really don't care if it was his birthday either. Rub, rub, ow. One thing I will say, though. I used to be mad at Mom for getting me a journal. I looked too girly. But after seeing Rolly's diary, I'm not so mad anymore. Sweet Circuits diary. Lately, Rolly has been totally riding me. He reads the same comic books I read, drinks the same kind of soda I drink, you name it. Mom says I should be flattered, but to be honest with you, it's totally creeping me out. A couple of days ago, I did an experiment to see just how far Rolly would go. I rolled up one of my pants legs and tied a bandana around my neck and my ankle and went to school that way. And sure enough, the next day, Rolly came to my school wearing the same exact thing, and that's how I ended up in Vice Principal's Roy's office for the second time in the week. There are some thugs outside of my house sporting gang colors. I was totally clear for the invisible Chirac thing, but boy, was I wrong. Tonight, Mom got a call from Chirac's dad, Mr. Gupta. I told Mom about all the prank we were playing on the sun, and I know I was the ringleader. When Mom questioned me, I told her I didn't even know what Sugar's dad was talking about. Then Mom marched me up to Rolly's house to hear what he heard to say. Luckily, I was prepared for this kind of thing. I had already drilled Rolly on what to do if I ever got busted, and that if we both just denied it, and we'd be okay. But the second Mom started asking Rolly questions, he broke out. Down. So after I visit Rolly's house, Mom drove me over to Chirac to apologize, and let me tell you, that wasn't a whole lot of fun. Mr. Gopa didn't seem too impressed with my apology, but believe it or not, Chirac was actually cool with it. After I apologized, Chirac invited me inside to play video games, and I think he was so relieved to finally get one of his classmates talking to him again that he just decided to forgive me for the whole incident. So I guess I forgive him. This is all what we have for now. I hope you liked it, and yeah, stay tuned for the next part.